Praise God. Praise God. We also failed to announce that we're having a service going on right now. Sister Mary Capaccio is conducting this in the ladies' prison in Tachita. Okay. So please remember her and continue to pray. And we are thankful for all of the people that God has been filling with the Holy Ghost. Not for sure where our count is, but we're around 174, 175 in that area this year. Below our goal, but we are still believing that God will continue to pour out the Holy Ghost. We've had several healings lately, and we're going to be talking about some of those today. Take your Bibles and turn to Colossians, the second chapter. And I want to read verse 8, 9, and 10. Again, it's good to see all of you here in the house of God. And please continue to pray for Sister Fuller then. Brother Fuller, he's not a real emotional type man, but he told me, said, Brother Grant, I guess I never will be able to get up to be with you again. He's 82 years old. I used to think that was old. But it's appearing younger and younger, you know. Colossians, the second chapter, verse 8. Paul is warning against philosophy, legality, the changing of the teachings of Scripture and the belief of the Godhead. Verse 8, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. And I want to call your attention to verse 10. Ye are complete in him. Now, this deals with teachings of the church. It deals also with the Godhead. Take this a little bit different direction, though. Look at this, ye are complete in him. In other words, because of who he is, he's really all that you need. I say he's really all that you need. So this AM service, I want to teach part one of Jesus. He's enough for me. Is he enough for you? Put your hands together, would you? Oh, praise God. Jesus, he's enough for me. Thank you, Lord. Lift your hands and worship God. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. So he's enough. He's enough for me. Let me ask you, is he enough for you? And some of you, after all these years, is he still enough for you? Because unfortunately, people do change their mind as they go along. And after many years of serving God, people go astray because they cannot find in God what, or they're not finding. I shouldn't say they cannot. They fail to find in God what they need. And that's no reflection on God, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He never changes. He never changes. In John, the ninth chapter, there is a story of a blind man. Jesus got involved in a conversation with this blind man. This blind man had been blind since his birth. And the disciples came and they asked Jesus concerning this blind man, said, is he blind because of the sins of his mother and dad, or because of his own sins? Why is he blind? Well, obviously, if he was blind from birth, it wasn't his sins because he was blind before he ever committed a sin. But they brought up this question, you know, why is he blind? Did the parents sin? Did he sin? Jesus said, neither one, neither have sinned, rather, but he is blind that the works of God should be manifest in him. Now, I don't know that if you have ever considered that when you have a problem, it might be because that you haven't sinned. Now, I tell people the first thing you do when you get sick is you repent. The Bible says if there be any sick among you, call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint you with oil and pray over you, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and God shall raise them up. And if they have committed sins, they shall be forgiven. So the first thing that I do when I get sick is I really search my heart. Because I do believe that God has a way of waking us up. And, you know, we can go through some tragic situations, some near-death situations, a lot of situations we can go through, and God is trying to get our attention. However, that's not all the time is that the case. That there are times in which we go through situations that God wants to be manifest. I have never believed that God heals someone only to get them out of pain. But there are manifold reasons why. And one is to get you out of pain, because he is touch in all points, like as we are, and by his stripes we're healed. When he died upon the cross, not only did he shed blood for our sins, but he took stripes upon his back for our healing. And he's moved by compassion, and he wants to heal us. But there is also another aspect that we sometimes don't look at, and that is that when we are healed, we need to spread the good word, let everybody know that, you know, there's been a miracle, because God did not heal me just to get me out of pain, just to give me health, but he has healed me so that I can magnify God and I can spread the word concerning the goodness of God. Jesus saw this blind son, and the Bible says that he spit upon the ground, and he took the spittle and on the clay, and he obviously was making a new eyeball for the guy. You know, God made man from the dust of the ground, or from the dirt of the ground. Adam, the word Adam actually means red dirt, red clay. So he made a new eyeball, eyeballs, and he anointed his eyes. And then he told him, said, now you go to the pool of Siloam, and I want you to wash yourself. Just go wash your face. And when he went, the Bible says that he could see clearly. I just cannot totally imagine what the atmosphere was like with mom and dad, and of course himself and all of his friends and everybody looking. This was near a synagogue, and perhaps it was on the Sabbath day, and he'd already been there. The Pharisees came, though, and they doubted. Some ask, are you sure that he can see? And, of course, yeah, he can see. By what power was he healed? And they said, well, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Evidently, the parents, along with the boy, they were not that familiar with Jesus. Now, his fame was growing and growing very rapidly in Israel. But there are a lot of people that had not heard a lot about him. So they began to question his authority. And by what power? Was this by the power of the devil, or just how was he healed? I can say this. If the devil had healing power, there'd be a whole lot of people healed today because a lot of people trust in the devil, you know. But he doesn't have healing power. So they want to know, but what power is he healed? And the parent says, well, we don't know. And they pressed the more. And the parent said, well, look, he's of age. In other words, he's not a kid. He's old enough that he can tell you what has happened. So they went to him. And when they went to him, they said, we want to know how you were healed. And the Bible says in verse 25 of John 9 that he answered and said, that's the boy answered, whether he is a sinner or no or not, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. And that was his testimony. Don't know. I just know this. I don't know much about Jesus. I don't know much about his ways. I'm pretty sure after that he no doubt looked into the situation. But this I do know, he said, I was blind, but now I see. Now the power of a testimony, you know, here these people, they knew. It's like the man that was by the gate called Beautiful in Acts the 3rd chapter. He was healed. He went jumping and leaping and running through the temple. And the lawyers and the scribes and the priest, they came to this man and they wanted to know, you know, how he was healed. Because he'd been out there all of his life by the gate called Beautiful, begging. They saw all of this. They saw the demonstration of him leaping and jumping. They couldn't deny the fact that he was healed. But then when they asked him, he began to give the credit to the disciples, and Peter and John had prayed for him. And of course, Peter and John were right in the mix of the conversation. And you know, these people said, look, it's all right to perform your miracles. We don't. This is fine, but what we want you to do is stop this business of doing this in the name of Jesus Christ. Of course, Acts 4:12, the Bible says that there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In other words, they were saying, look, you know, there's all power in his name. We can't, if we stop using the name of Jesus, then the miracles stop. The miracles stop. And aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is more than just a prophet? Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ is more than just a man? That Jesus Christ is so connected to God that in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we're complete in him? Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord again. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, God. 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 You know, and I think about the power of a testimony. There's one thing that is hard for people to refute, and that is your personal testimony. You know, they may say, oh, well, you don't do this. You know, people don't speak in tongues during this particular age. After the Bible's written, it's all done away with. And I remember a boy that I went to high school with, and he hired on a job that I was working on, and so they put him directly under me, and I was to teach him or train him the skills of making patterns and such. We would take blueprints and take the individual parts. We were making huge bulldozers and earth-moving equipment. We'd take the individual parts off, and we would start out with a flat piece of metal, and we would make a pattern for this, and show how to cut it from what size metal, what thickness, what hardness, so forth, and how to bend it, and just where to mark it to bend it up, and all of this. And I remember out on a slab one day, we had a piece of that we were going to cut, and it was so large that I didn't want to make a paper template, made them out of cardboard. Actually, it was a heavy commercial-type wax cardboard, And I just didn't want to make one. It was so big. So we get out there, and we're laying this out. And so I still remember that he began to ask me. He said, I understand that you're going to church now. And I said, yes. Well, he was quite surprised, knowing me in high school, see. And then he said, I understand that you've gone into the ministry. And I said, oh, yes. And I never will forget him looking up, and we were down on our knees, hot piece of metal out in the bright sunshine. And listen, it gets hot in Texas, especially on a piece of metal like that. We could hardly stand the heat. We were popping lines, and we had a hammer and a center punch, and we were putting points in which we were supposed to make radiuses and all of this for the cutting of the piece. And I still remember that he looked at me and said, what religion are you involved in? I said, well, I am a Pentecostal minister. He said, oh, he said, you mean associated with speaking in tongues? And I said, yes. Now, this was back when speaking in tongues was not a very popular thing. Now, you can go to almost any church now and talk about speaking in tongues. People know what you're talking about because churches are loaded with people who have received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I still remember him looking at me and said, well, I don't believe in that. And I said, well, it is a valid Christian experience. And he began to tell me why he didn't believe in it. You know, it seems like all the experts are the people that don't believe in it. And they can tell you all about why you shouldn't speak in tongues. I said, but hold it just a minute. I said, the thing about it is, I said, I do speak in tongues. He said, are you serious? And I said, yes. And he said, when you received the Holy Spirit, you spoke in tongues. I said, well, yes, I did. I said, not only that, I said, I was very, very sick, had a bleeding stomach ulcer. And would you believe that when God healed me, or when God saved me and I spoke with tongues, that he also healed me? And he said, well, tell me about that. So I began to talk to him about the Lord healing me. And that very day, for the first time in a long time, I ate Texas barbecue and never had a problem. And he just looked at me and said, well, I really don't know what to say about that. You know, it's hard to argue with a testimony. You know, and the thing about it is, we were talking about Brother Ben Thompson, and we compared it to Brother Jeff Merkus's situation. Come down here, Brother Jeff. Brother Jeff and his wife, and they were going down Highway 151 from up at the Fond du Lac area, Appleton, I think it was. And he knew that he had a bad heart. And all of a sudden, just going down the road, he just slumped over. Now, here's his wife in the front seat. I don't know how fast he was going. Too fast, he says, okay? And here he is. He's dying. I mean, he's dying. And he's not breathing. He's not responding. Now, she has to get a hold of the wheel, slow the vehicle down, stop the car, get out, and get him on the ground. And God just helped Sister Lori. Where's your wife?
Say amen.
Amen.
She's in with the children.
Okay, she's in with the children, okay? I wanted her to stand. Would you believe that there was a nurse that came by and saw him on the ground, and she was trying to help him, and she stopped the vehicle, and she started assisting Lori. No heartbeat, no breath. It was gone. And they worked with him, and would you believe in a matter of days, I mean, he was taken to the hospital, and they revived him, and now he stands before you. He's gone back to his business, and he's giving God the glory, just like Ben Thompson. Praise God.
Say something about him.
What I'd say most is I'd like to thank everybody here that prayed for me and helped me financially and all that went on. that without that, I probably wouldn't be here as well. And I said this at the hospital when I went to visit Ben, is I can say that, I can go into a hospital, a doctor's office, or a medical facility and say to those people that because of the grace of God and the prayers of the saints, I stand here or sit here alive. And I'm grateful for what they did. They're helping me. But to be alive is the grace and the prayers of the saints.
Let me ask you a question. Is Jesus still enough for you?
More than enough.
Oh, hallelujah. Lift your hands and praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. I was out purchasing paint for our building when we first put it up on the other side. And I went into a place, and so I turned my order in, and the gentleman looked at me and said, "Oh, you're from Calvary Gospel Church." He said, "Do you know Rich Thomas and Tom Nelson?" And I said, "Oh, you sure I do." I said, "They attend our church." He said, "That's what I thought." And, you kind of hold your breath because you don't know what the guy's going to say. He said, "Did you know them before they started attending your church?" I said, "No, I really didn't. Just a brief period of time, and that was during their conversion." Stand up, Brother Thomas. And he said, "Well, let me tell you something." He said, If God can change Rich Thomas and Tom Nelson, he can change anybody. Brother Thomas had a problem with alcohol. What happened, Brother Thomas?
When I came out of the waters of baptism, I began speaking in other tongues, and the Spirit of God took all of the desire for alcohol, drugs, all the things that I was involved in Jesus' name. Never again has that ever entered my system, nor has the desire ever been there in Jesus' name.
After all these years, is Jesus enough for you?
Jesus is enough for me.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, while I'm here by Shorty Hawk, I'd like for you to stand up, Brother Hawk. Praise God. Oh, my. I love this man. Before he gave his heart to God, he was involved in, well, let's let him just give you a brief testimony.
When I was involved in alcohol and drugs and the street life, I came to church in the early 80s. Had one foot in the church, in the world, and one foot in church, not willing to commit myself. And I went this way for about 4 or 5 years, continued using drugs and alcohol off and on until alcohol and drugs took over my life. Ultimately, I went to prison in 87, and it was at that point in time where I had hit my lowest, and I didn't have anywhere else to turn but to God. I don't know if you've ever found yourself up against a wall where there's just nowhere else to go. And I said, "Lord, no matter what happens to me, no matter what happens to my life, I will serve you." 23 years later, I am still serving the Lord. I have not touched alcohol, drugs, or crime. God is more than enough for me.
And is in charge of our CIP program and Arise Family Services.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Dan Capaccio, stand up. I remember Dan Capaccio the first time I saw him. Dan had the longest hair, and it was wavy. Had a ponytail down to his mid back. Walks in our church. Now he had hair on the top. Been quite a few years ago. How long? 76. Now, what were you involved in? Just tell it.
I was involved in the alternative lifestyle. Not homosexuality, no, not that. But the hippie movement, all that involved. It was destroying my life. It was the lifestyle was sin, and I knew it was killing me. And I didn't know if God existed or not, but I turned to Him, in case He was there, and He heard my prayers, and got me through a lot of stuff. Filled me with His Spirit. I was addicted to nicotine. The day I got filled with the Holy Ghost, that desire was gone, completely gone.
Hallelujah.
I did some alcohol and a few drugs, but not a lot, but did some and before that, and the desire for that, he took that completely away too. So God is awesome, and Jesus is more than enough for me.
And the thing about Brother Capaccio, he started working in our bus ministry, running buses throughout the city, picking up children, and you've been doing that how long now?
I started that about 6 months after I was filled with the Holy Ghost, so it must be 34 years?
34 years he's been doing it. And he did it this morning. Yeah. Amen. Praise God. God is more than enough. Isn't that great? Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Sister Valerie, I understand that you travel throughout the states and kind of in a rebellious way. Stand up, would you do that? Tell everybody about your life, okay?
I did a lot of drugs. Didn't do too much alcohol, just some 14 to probably 16. So God delivered me from drugs and alcohol. He delivered me from a very colorful lifestyle and has kept me all these years.
God is
more than enough.
More than enough. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Isn't this great? Praise God. Just recently, within the last month, Brother Smith came in. Stand up, Brother Smith. Brother Smith last year went in to see the doctor, and he found out that he had a small cancer tumor in his lungs. I don't know, left or right or what, but right lung, okay? Then he went back in another month or two, and that had really grown considerably larger. We started praying. We started seeking God. His name went out on our prayer chain, a one call. Remember him coming down to the front. Now, it is no easy matter to deal with cancer. I've had 3 cancer surgeries, I know. And when you think about cancer, you think of this is the end. Because cancer does end so many lives. And I remember when the doctor first told me I had cancer, if you want to know the truth, you know, I didn't take it so well. I was in a doctor's office when he told me this, and all of a sudden I got real faint, like I couldn't take it. And he had to lay me back in a chair, and they put oxygen on me, and this, you know, my wife is saying, "You're not dying now." I mean, I remember Brother Smith making his way up to the altar. We took oil and anointed him. I remember the look of despair on his face. Like, what am I going to do? Now, just recently, during all of this, he went back, and I want him to pick up the story and just tell about this, Brother Smith.
Sure. The third week in August, I went back to see the doctor. They went in, took pictures, called me into his office and said, "There's nothing there. It's gone." Recently, they just went back less than a week ago and took more pictures just to make sure what was going on. They wanted to double check things, and it's as if nothing was ever there.
Hallelujah. Is Jesus enough for you?
Oh, he's more than enough for me.
Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and worship the Lord. Oh, praise God, praise God, praise God. And we would have to sit here literally all day and all night and into next week taking testimonies of people that have been divinely healed. Now, if you don't agree with divine healing, I'm sorry, but let me tell you something. I know for a fact. I had lost weight down to less than 120 pounds. I weighed 119 pounds. I could not eat anything but just cold mashed potatoes. I couldn't drink anything other than just water and Maalox. Seriously. I'd lost that much weight. I didn't know what I was going to do. Of course, I was raised in and around an apostolic church. I knew that Jesus Christ could heal. April 15th, 1961. 15th of this month will be 49 years and 5 months ago. I walked into the church. Brother Johnny Wilhoit, missionary, at that time he was an evangelist, was preaching. I don't know what he was preaching on, but I listened to him. I came down to the altar. Dear brother in the church, Brother Ralph Allred, started praying for me. It was a very busy, busy Sunday because my parents were celebrating their wedding anniversary, and they were going on a vacation, so they were celebrating it 1 week early. And everybody left the church, but my wife, Brother Ralph Allred, myself. Thank God for people who care. I'd worked on a job with Ralph, and tell you the truth, I never did like him. There were times when I'd see him coming, I'd dodge. I didn't want to talk with him. It's always talking to me about God, you know, always. I don't have anything to do with him. But that day, my friend, God changed my attitude. All of a sudden, when I looked around and saw everybody gone, saw Brother Ralph still praying, I reached over and got him by the hand and hugged his neck. He said, "But John, it's not over yet. You don't have to leave. God can fill you with the Holy Ghost today." Thank the Lord. You know, if you're praying with someone, make sure that you don't give up until they call it quits. So here I was, Brother Ralph Allred, a guy that I really didn't like. All of a sudden, God gives me a love for him. While we were worshiping the Lord, the Spirit of God came upon me. Oh. Nothing like it ever before. All of a sudden, I began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. What an experience. I had opened my Bible a week before, and I read in there, it was just random reading in the Gospels. Jesus says, "I come that you may be made whole." I understood that to be body, soul, and spirit. Jesus proved himself to be enough, more than enough for me on that day. John 14, verse 1 through 6, Jesus talks about heaven. Then he concludes by saying, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Now, he didn't say he could show us the way to heaven. He said, "I am the way." He didn't say that I'm going to show you truth. He said, "I am truth." And he said, "I am the life." Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." John 8:32. John 10:10, "The thief cometh not, but to kill, steal, and destroy. But I come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly." Life, he's talking about eternal life. Abundant life, he's talking about a better way right now. A life that's fulfilling, a life that's plentiful, a life that's abundant, a life that's full, a life that is enough and to spare. Is he enough for you? After all these years, are you still convinced to stay with him? Stay with him until the end. I have no reason to turn back. For some, he's not enough simply because that they've lost their relationship with God. Paul says concerning a disciple that followed with him, he said, Demas has forsaken me for this present world. But there's nothing in this world, nothing, that's worth losing your soul over. And there's nothing that's worth destroying your relationship with God. Not tonight. We're going to pick up where we're leaving off this morning. I'd like for you to stand with me. So tonight, Jesus, he's enough for me, part two. We're going to give you the opportunity to come and give your heart to God. Now, if you're sick in body, we have a group of ministers that will gather over here and anoint you with oil and pray that God would heal you. If you have a crisis in your life, some unanswered questions and such, and you'd like to come, just come and stand right in front of the pulpit. If you'd like a deeper relationship with God, or perhaps if you've never started your relationship with God and you would like to change that, why don't you come over here and stand on your right? So as our praise singers sing, we want to give you the opportunity to come. Over on the right, for the Holy Spirit, in front of the pulpit here, if you've got some situations in life that are challenging you and you need prayer, come stand here. And if you need a healing for your body, come. Come believing him. Come on right now. Yes, that's it. Make your way.